The scripture reading this morning will be coming from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. And it reads, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus."
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning. Hope, pray, and trust that you're doing well, that you are making good decisions, that you are walking in the light as God himself is in the light. We are thankful for those who are visiting with us. I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guests, and we are grateful to the God of heaven that allows us to worship him in spirit and in truth through our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. We have been talking about prayer all month. And we have been in 1 Timothy chapter 2 all month. Brother Brian Braswell kicked us off with the first lesson, and then I brought a few lessons, and then Brother Tobias Hatchett gave us an excellent lesson on the third Sunday. And if you're visiting with us, you'll see the QR code that is behind me, and hopefully you'll obtain the notes that we will be going by here on this morning. As I was considering this particular text for the last few weeks, I have been just enthralled, I've been thrilled to consider our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and thinking about what God has done through him. And we think about God as he was reconciling the world back to himself, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. And what a blessing it is for us to know that we can approach a high and holy and awesome God. And he himself has done this through the medium, through the person of Jesus the Christ. God had provided for himself a lamb. And Jesus, according to John 1, verse 29, would be that Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of the world. And so when we consider this great, great study about Jesus being the mediator, being the one that is between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, I venture to say before this study, I probably took Jesus a little bit for granted, but the more that I considered who he is and what God has done through him, friends, I venture to say, I hope that you'll have a better appreciation for what Jesus has done for us. And we know for a fact that in order for us to even approach a high and holy God, we have to have someone to go through. And so what does it mean that Jesus is mediator? What is the role of a mediator? Do we understand Jesus' role as mediator? And when we consider this, I want us to consider, what does it mean that Jesus is the go-between, if you will? So many people are trying to go around Jesus the Christ. When the Bible teaches us in John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through or by me." And when we think about that, what a powerful statement that Jesus made and a powerful declaration that he made. And people are trying to get to God, to Jehovah God, and they're trying to go around who he has sent. But friends, there is no going around him. And the reason why is because the scriptures dictate and determine and demonstrate who we're to go through. We're to go through the one in whom God sent in order for us to come to him. So number one, the role of a mediator. And one thing that I love to do, I love to define my terms. I need to know, what are we working with? What are we working with? When you think about the idea of mediator, if you look at your notes, mediator defined, one who intervenes between two, either in order to make or restore peace and friendship, or form a compact, or for ratifying a covenant. Whoever acts as a mediator does not belong to one party, but to two or to more parties, Galatians 3 and verse number 20. And when we consider this, Jesus Christ, we understand him according to the scriptures. John 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You drop down to verse number 14, and the Bible teaches us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus Christ is the go-between. He's the mediator. He is the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. None of us fit that bill. As a matter of fact, there was not one that came before Jesus that fit that bill, and there will not be one that came after Jesus that would fit that bill. Jesus Christ, according to 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5, is the man, Christ Jesus. If anybody understands both sides, the side of spirituality, the side of deity, the side of God, is Jesus Christ. If anyone understands humanity, it is Jesus Christ, the God-man, the God-man. But why mediation? As I was thinking about this and pondering this more and more and more, I came across something that was in the scriptures that I just couldn't go around, just couldn't bypass, had to share it for us even today. Number one, God is holy. Now, let that sink in for a minute. God is holy. God is set apart from sin. In 1 John 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says God is light. And in him there is no darkness, what? At all. Let that sink in for a second. Because I believe that some in the religious world try to bring God down to the level of humanity. No, friends, God is holy. He is without sin. He doesn't know sin. God cannot lie. Let's let that sink in for a second. Yet, when we understand Hebrews 9 and verse number 24, we needed someone that understood both sides. One that could understand both sides and bring humanity to God. That would be the person of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14, notice what our Bible communicates to us. Hebrews 9, starting at verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience? Notice, from what? From dead works to do what? To serve the living God. Now I want us to consider this. Because in order for man to serve the living God, one has to have their conscience cleansed from dead works. One has to have their conscience cleansed from sin. Turn to 1 Peter 3, verse number 21, and then we'll come back to Hebrews 9 and look at verse 15. In 1 Peter 3, in verse number 21, notice what the Bible here communicates. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, the only way to have our conscience cleansed from dead works, it has to be through baptism, which tells us that if I'm going to have my conscience cleansed, go back to Hebrews 9 and verse number 14, it has to be by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that I have my conscience cleansed. When we consider this great mediator, why did God have to send the Christ, send the Word to become flesh? Because he needed a go-between. He needed to have someone between he and the one that sinned against him, mankind. Hebrews 9, again, verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, notice verse number 15. And for this reason, God gave us reason. And for this reason, he, talking about Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hebrews writer, what are you telling us? The only way that we could approach God and to serve him, latreo is the Greek word there, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. In order for us to go to God in prayer, in order for us to worship God in spirit and in truth, we had to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Tobias, you officiated the Lord's Supper this morning. I hope you was thinking about what Jesus did for us, brethren. The only way that we could go to the Father is through the sacrifice and the offering and the mercy of Almighty God and the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So I want to beg you, I'm pleading with you right now, and I've been thinking about this all week. When you come to worship, get your rest. When you come to worship, have your mind clear. And our good brother, Brother Bobby, said something in his prayer, if you was paying attention, that we may rid all of the worldly things. Brethren, when we come to worship and we are offering this spiritual sacrifice unto God, let it be his time. Let us not be thinking about anything else but offering up a spiritual sacrifice unto our Father through Jesus Christ. Amen? Pay attention. At times we find brethren sometimes falling asleep in worship. At times we find them cuddling up as if they're at home on the couch. At times we find even our children playing. At times we find ourselves text messaging. At times we find ourselves nowhere to be found in worship. This is God's time. We must pay attention. Jesus Christ went through all of that pain and agony, torture, in order for us to approach God, who is spirit, John 4, verse number 23 and 24. We must approach him properly. Those in the Old Testament understood that when they approached God, they knew who they were approaching. Why do we need a mediator? Because sin brings about hostility and separation. Oh, according to Isaiah 5 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "Woe unto him who call evil good and good evil, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We live in a time where people are not calling sin what it really is. It was sin that actually put our Savior on the cross. It is sin that Jesus Christ took on in order for us to be reconciled back to the Father, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. Friends, let's not make light of sin. Mike Bonner, don't make light of sin. I always like to use my name because I can only get mad at myself. Brethren, let us not make light of sin. For it was sin that caused our God, our Father, to come up with this magnificent plan to send the Word that became flesh. So why? Why do we need a mediator? Turn to 1 Samuel 2. And look at verse number 25 in the context of Eli and his sons. Eli and his sons made light of sin. They took their position of priest and they exploited it upon the people. They were not right in the sight of God. Eli even knew this himself, but did not have enough spiritual gumption to actually check his own sons. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse number 25. Notice what the Bible here communicates to us. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 25. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Now think about that. I sin against Brother Tobias. I can have Brother Tobias pray for me after I've said, "Tobias, I'm sorry." He could pray for me. But if I sin against God, there's no one that can pray for me unless God offers a mediator, an intercessor to help me out. Why is Jesus so important? He's so important because God made him that one that all men can now come through. I need Brother Tobias and Brother Luke. Where's Brother Luke? Brother Luke, come here, Brother Luke. Tobias, come here. And give me Josh. I need y'all three. Y'all come up here real quick. I need to make an illustration real quick. And I want Tobias, I want you to stand right there. He's going to be God. I need Luke over here. And you're going to be man. And I need you right here. You're going to be Jesus. You're going to be mediator. Okay? Now, here we have the mediator, Jesus the Christ. We have God right here. And the only way that this person here can get to God, go ahead and go around the mediator and see if you can get to God. I appreciate Josh doing that. Now, we're laughing, but that's the truth. And I didn't talk to these guys before this. I just picked three random guys. Now, come back to your spot. Now, I want you to go through Jesus Christ like you're supposed to. Latch your hand to his hand. Now, what do you need to do? You need to do what? Take him to Jesus. Take him to the Father, just like that. Y'all go have a seat. Amen. Brethren, we got too many people trying to get to God, but they're not trying to go through Jesus. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But that's baptism not necessary. You got to go through Jesus. Jesus said, keep my commandments. People say, well, I really don't have to do that, but I can get to God. You can't get to God unless you go through Jesus. Jesus is the mediator. And that should tell us something, that the very fact that Jesus is mediator, he's the go-between, he's the one that's in between God and man, and we got the clear passage that we read in our hearing, the man Christ Jesus, that means that man must go through Jesus in order to get to the Father. Question, have you been through Jesus? Go to Job chapter 16. In Job chapter 16, and verse number 21, Job had this in his mind. In Job 16, remember, Job was an upright man. He was blameless. He hated evil. In Job 16, in verse number 21, notice what the Bible here says. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor. Job was looking for a mediator. He was looking for someone to go between him and God. Remember in Job 19:25, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives and will stand upon the earth. Here, Job, through inspiration, is giving us a picture of what was to come. Did Job know? Nope. But God did. And so Jesus would be the one that will take us to the Father. In 1 John 2 and verse number 2, Jesus will be known as our propitiation, our advocate. He would be the one who would be God's satisfaction in order for man to come through in order to get to the Father. Brethren, are you hearing this? So when we offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God, when we're praying to God and singing to God, friends, we ought to be saying, thank you, Father, for allowing Jesus to do what he did in order for us to even approach you, because you are a holy God. So what are some passages in the New Testament? There are only five that actually demonstrate Jesus Christ being the mediator. We looked at Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15. Jesus would be the one who would mediate. But how? Go back to Hebrews 9 and let's look at verse number 11. In Hebrews 9 and verse number 11, notice what the Bible here teaches us. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, referring to the Levitical system, the Mosaic law. See, Jesus Christ never offered a sacrifice for sin because Jesus never sinned. Amen. He never did anything against God. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21 and 22, neither did he sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. He never thought anything wrong. He never deceived anyone. He never had bad motives. He never said anything wrong. He always did that which was right before God. No wonder God can use the man Christ Jesus, because he was fully dedicated to God. And so he never offered a sacrifice of bulls and goats, nor of calves. But notice, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, notice this, as we read it again, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Friends, the reason why we can approach God is because of the man Christ Jesus. We ought to be thankful for this great man. And it is through the kingdom of God that we can approach our Father. Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. No wonder we go out and we preach the gospel. When I think about the gospel and I think about the good news, the Bible demonstrates something beautiful about the gospel. In Mark chapter 16, again, and verse number 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But what is the gospel, Brother Mike? In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8, the Bible teaches us that the gospel, which is God's power to save, Romans 1, 16, is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ. But not just that, friends, because there are some, because of their misunderstanding of the scripture, believe that it's just the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. No, sir, and no, ma'am. Turn your Bibles to Mark 1, verse number 14 and 15. Tobias, get Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12. Hold your Bible there, Tobias. I'll be there in a minute. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, John was preaching the gospel. The next thing you know, we find Jesus picking up the spiritual baton, and he is preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. But what is the kingdom? In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18 and 19, Jesus would prophesy of the kingdom being the church. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so the kingdom is the church, and the church is the kingdom, and the church is the body, all one and the same. But Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 is interesting. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12, what does the Bible say, Brother Tobias? But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Hold on. When we preach the gospel, you have to preach the kingdom. When we preach the gospel, you have to preach the church. When you preach the gospel, you have to preach the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ. Why? Because in order for me to take advantage of the mediator, I have to go through the Christ. I have to be in the kingdom, which is the church, and that is going to take place when I am immersed, baptized into Christ. And so I was asking my wife this question along the way. We was driving home yesterday, and I said, is Christ being a mediator for all men or just for Christians? And so we talked about that for a minute. She said, all men. However, one has to be in Christ in order to take advantage of the mediation. It's just like marriage. Having the benefits of marriage, one gets to enjoy the intimacy of marriage, of getting to know someone, of getting to know their mind, and to be able to have children, and to help one another go to heaven. But that takes place when we do it right, amen, through marriage. And so everybody can get married if they're eligible for marriage. But if you're not married, and here's where we have a problem in the United States of America, we have people and they're having children, yet they're not married. Now, Brother Mike did that, and it was a sin when Brother Mike did it, and it's a sin when men do it today. Amen. I could talk about me. Brother Mike, you didn't have to call me out. I didn't call me out. You know why? Because it was wrong. We shouldn't be having children and families and not be married. Amen. But the world that we live in is different now. But this is not. This is still the same. And so I tell young people all the time, you want all of the benefits of intimacy? Get married. And marry the right person. Marry a spiritually minded person who has their mediator being the Christ, so they can go to God on your behalf. We told our girls all the time, marry a Christian, because problems in marriage will take place, and you need to have someone that has a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, so when those problems come, y'all can take each other's hand and y'all can pray to the Father together. We ought to be teaching our children that. And this pulpit will make sure that we remind you to do what is right and to encourage those who are on the outside to take advantage of holiness and spirituality and the great mediator, the man, Christ Jesus, in order for us to get to the Father. So many are trying to go around the mediator when Jesus said again, I am the way. I'm the way. Look at Hebrews 8. Look at verse 6. Friends, what did God attach to Jesus being mediator? He attached a covenant. We just finished talking about marriage. Marriage is a covenant. When I was a kid, people used to talk bad about marriage and call it a piece of paper. Y'all remember that? That's just a piece of paper. When I was in the midst of that generation, I didn't think nothing of it. It's just a piece of paper. You don't need to get married. It's just a piece of paper. But I've learned that marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant between a man and a woman and God. Now, let me even fix that even more. An eligible man and an eligible woman and God. Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 8, and verse number, let's start at verse number 1. Well, come on down. We got till midnight. Now, this is the sum or the main point of things we are saying. We have such a high priest talking about Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, talking about Jesus, also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, talking about to the law of Moses, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed, when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown on the mountain. But now, watch this, brethren. He has obtained a more excellent ministry, talking about Jesus, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And some try to keep the law of Moses today. We're under the law of Moses. The mediator, the person Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, is the mediator. He's the go-between of the New Testament, not the Old Testament. The New Testament, the law of the Spirit, Romans 8, 1 and 2, not the law of Moses. Jesus Christ, he was born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, and he kept that law perfectly. But it wasn't his law. His law is the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ. And so under the Old Testament, Brother Tobias, they listen to Moses. Under the New Testament, we listen to Christ. And so we have some, even in the Lord's church, that don't understand that. But we need to understand that Jesus, being mediator, he's the mediator of the new covenant. And so what does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us? Point number 3, as I begin to let you go, I'll be done in about 30 minutes, and we've only been going for 30. Y'all smile. I tell you, the more I was studying this and thinking about this, I need to do a better job of going through my mediator, not just in prayer, but in my life. How's your life? Are you honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How's your life? How's your thoughts? What about your motives? Have you considered that? Point number three, what has mediation means for us? Number one, we become better acquainted and familiar with the one true living God through Jesus. Turn to John 17. Look at verse 1 through 3. John 17, Jesus in his prayer to the Father says something very magnificent. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over some flesh." Is that what your Bible says? All. Now, why is that important? Because there's not a person on the face of the earth that should not understand that they're under the authority of Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. Sister Evelyn, all men have not submitted themselves to Christ. Hence the reason, again, we take the gospel to the world to let them know you're accountable to Christ. Brother Mike, I'm a self-made man. Brother Mike, you don't know who I am. Brother Mike, I'm prominent in the community. Well, Jesus would say, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? So I have a good brother in San Antonio, and he sends me text messages. And he was responding to a text message that I sent. And his response to one was this: what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Which means that God wants you to exchange whatever you have that's contrary to him for what he's willing to give you. I thought that was good. God himself says, I want to give you everything in Christ, Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings. And what you need to do is exchange everything that is of the world, and I'll give you life eternal. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan tried to offer Jesus all things? It wasn't his to offer. And Jesus knew that. Amen, brethren. Jesus knew that. And so my wife and I and the Fredericks, we went to Kansas, and we was talking about some things. Evelyn, I'm giving all your little gems away, but they need them. Because I learned some things, Brother Jerry. That's one thing that makes vacation good, even though I don't take many of them. I learned some things. I learned that God has truly given us power. But the power is in the choice to follow him and follow his Son. Huh. What happens when a person wants to go around the mediator? They render themselves powerless. What happens when I make decisions, when I live immorally, because that goes contrary to the Spirit's teaching, Romans 8 verse 1 and 2, which goes contrary to the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, Philippians 2:5. What happens to me? I render myself powerless. But when I make the decisions that God wants me to make, when I understand that Christ has authority over my life, then I take his word, I put it in my mind, I meditate upon it, I think upon it, I put it into practice, therefore I become powerful because the word of God is powerful in and of itself. And so, it makes sense. Look at verse 2 again. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. I don't have to guess what it is. I don't have to ponder what it is. I don't have to make up what it is. Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, tells us what eternal life is. What is eternal life, Jesus? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Friends, do you have life? Are you a member of the Lord's church, Church of Christ? Do you have life? And so Jesus said, this is eternal life, knowing God and knowing Jesus. And so when we know them both, we have life. Brandon, we ought to have a desire to become more acquainted and better acquainted and more familiar with the one true living God and seeing the beauty of learning more about Jesus. Look at John 14 and look at verse number 9. In John 14 and verse number 9, here the Bible teaches us, Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And so Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the one that sent me. Friends, when we think about Jesus being our mediator, our go-between, how do we get to know God? We get to know God when we get to know his Son. And how do we get to know his Son? We get to know his Son when we keep his commandments, when we go to the Word. And so, what is mediation? What does it mean to us? It means that we get to worship God the Father. I know for a fact there have been many a days, especially when I was young and immature, that I would come into the building to worship God and I would leave the building and in my mind, nothing went on. But as I got older and put away the distractions of the world, I find myself when I come to worship, I can't wait to get here. And I can't wait to learn something. And I can't wait to know that my mind is focused. And so very young in our lives as husband and wife, we began to sit closer to the front so we can see less distractions. Yes, that's the truth. Because we were seeing everything. Back in the day when there was no cell phones, can y'all even imagine a day with no cell phones? When there were no cell phones, we had those big old bricks, but they were tied with a cord to the car. But anyway, I'll come back, digress. Anyway, here's my point. But passing notes, but like, why are you passing notes? Well, I just wanted to say something real. This is God's time. Brethren, let's honor Jesus away from the building so when we come to the building, we can actually enjoy the privilege of worshiping the Father. Let's be the people that God wants us to be as we sing to the Father through Christ. Let's be those type of people who understand the privileges that we have. And it's a great privilege as I close. What are we provided? Look at letter C. I'm going to give you these real quick. We are provided the comfort in knowing God actually cares. For him to send the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, and for the Christ to actually do exactly what the Father said, they care for us. They care for us. We're provided assurance and confidence that is needed so we can reach the Father, so we can approach the Father, so we can be in submission to the Father. Blessing we have. Let us never take these things for granted. And if we have, let us ask God to forgive us. And let us turn ourselves around. And let us give thanks for the life of Christ. And let us be a people who are striving to be spiritual. Spiritual. We're provided the exact spiritual things we are lacking. We have access, we have redemption, we have hope. All brethren, we have access, we have redemption, we have hope. We actually have access to the Father. And there's so many, again, trying to reach the Father. And some of them just don't know how to come to the Father. And so they conjure up ways in their mind. Well, I think I'm going to do this. Well, I think I'm just going to ask him to do this. Well, when is the last time you opened up this grand book called the Hagias Biblios, the Holy Bible? the Word of God and ask yourself, well, how do I reach him? How do I go to him? Because if I try to go to him without knowing that I make God a God of emotion or being illogical, that's a better way of saying it. God is a God of logic, a God of reasoning. And so he says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. So God, how do you want people to come to you? I need you to come through the one in whom I sent. Well, God, who did you send? I sent Jesus. And no wonder John 1:18, the one that was in the bosom of the Father, he came to declare him. And he did. So how do I get to know him? By obeying the gospel. We already talked about it. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Will you be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, live faithful even to the point of death? And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll forgive you for everything that you've done wrong. But he's going to do that because of your submission to his will and to his son and to the gospel. It's not just one thing. It's everything that God put in that. But maybe you're a child of God. And, well, you haven't really been acknowledging the lifestyle that God demands of us. And make no mistake about it, he demands a lifestyle. Let us do something about that. And let us consider our reasoning, our motives, our thoughts, and our actions. Let us consider those things as we stand and as we sing, Brother Chad, our Savior's invitation.